Jesus has a table spread.
Hello, friends. I'm Brother Ricky Cawthorn, and I welcome you to today's Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast. I trust our broadcast will be a real blessing. And now let's come and dine around the Word of God together.
Oh, 'tis sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the Master calls, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time.
And I welcome you to the Saturday, January 17th, Sunday, January 18th radio broadcast of the Gospel Pulpit. It is a great joy to bring this broadcast to you. As we come into your cars, homes, wherever you're listening to us from, we're continuing our study on the life of David. We're in our 33rd sermon this week on that. And usually it takes about 2 weeks to play one sermon. And so you pray for us during that study that God would help us in that. I love and appreciate each and every one of you. I thank God for you and what you mean to me. I've never met a lot of you. I'll never meet you in this walk of life, but you know what? I'd like to hear from you. If you'd like to write me a letter, I'd love to hear from you. Write to the Gospel Pulpit, Post Office Box 797, Dobson, North Carolina, 27017. Again, that is the Gospel Pulpit, Post Office Box 797, Dobson, North Carolina, 27017. It'd be a joy to hear from you and know where you're listening to us from. Amen. Also, you can check our website out, gbiradio.org. Also, you can call our offices Monday through Friday, 336-356-1560 or 336-372-5700. And we'd be glad for you to do that as well. We certainly appreciate each and every one of you. I hope you'll pray for me during this year. I encourage you to read through your Bible every day, and I encourage you to read it through this year. I also encourage you to pray every day. Get your prayer list and pray every day. Amen. And put me on that list. Put our ministry on that list. There are some things I'd like to do this year, and we'll see about doing some things, getting these announced out to you, and we'll see what happens in days ahead. All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll continue. We're going to start a brand new message today in the life of David. We'll start our 33rd message in just a moment. Father, I love you, and I thank you for the privilege, Lord, of prayer. I thank you for the privilege of coming to you. And have you will your way, Lord. Bless us in Jesus' name. And bless the message. May it have free course today. In Jesus' wonderful name I pray. Amen. You know, I've enjoyed studying the life of David. What a great study this is on the life of David. And David, a great, great man in the Word of God. And we studied many of the Psalms along with this life of David, not just in Samuel, but we studied some of the Psalms also as well. And if you'd like to have the copies, we have 70 of these sermons. We have 76 messages, and we could get really all 76 of them. We have 70 of them in albums that we could send to you. And if you want to know more about that, you write us or call us, and we'd be glad to get these into your hands. Amen. I tell you what, the life of David's been a real blessing to me. We go to our 33rd message entitled Son-in-Law to the King. Hope it's a blessing. Now we come to our 33rd message in the life of David. I call your attention today to 1 Samuel chapter number 18, and I'm going to be dealing with verses 17 through 30. Now, for a text verse, I'm just going to read verse number 17, and then we'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll preach the message that the Lord has given us for this time. And 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 17, and Saul said to David, "Behold, my elder daughter Merab, her will I give thee to wife. Only be thou valiant for me, and fight the Lord's battles." For Saul said, "Let not mine hand be upon him, but let the hand of the Philistines be upon him." Now, Father, will you help us today and use us as we look into this portion of Scripture during this time? In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we're preaching today on this title, Son-in-Law to the King. Son-in-law to the king. Now, in the previous verses, we note that David, Saul had separated David. He had demoted him back to being a captain over 1,000. Saul was jealous of David. But all of a sudden, Saul sees David in person. I don't know if he called him to the palace, and I assume that's what he did. Now, I want to just stop and say something about that. When somebody avoids you or gets away from you, and they don't. Have you ever seen people that they just want to have something to do with you when they want something? Have you ever seen that? And that's a big thing. I've had people do that me that way all my life. They have nothing to do with me until they want something. Now, if you live your life that way, I'm just going to say that you're living in the flesh. That's what Saul did. So that's a characteristic, the fleshly living. But anyway, David had to be thinking here. Now, Saul hadn't had anything to do with him. He separated himself, devoted him to his thousand. And now all of a sudden, Saul approaches him. And 1 Samuel 18:17, and Saul said to David, "Behold," now in other words, I've got something to tell you now, listen to me, "my elder daughter Merab, her will I give thee to wife, only be thou valiant for me, and fight the Lord's battles. For Saul said, let not mine hand be upon him, but let the hand of the Philistines be upon him." Now here's what Saul thought in his fleshly mind. Saul, again, is forgetting that God has already said he is going to be taken out of the throne. He's not going to be king anymore. Jonathan's not going to inherit the throne. But Saul is trying every way he can to keep that throne. And Saul's idea was, well, I'll get David killed. I'll give him my wife. And then he got religious. Fight the Lord's battles. He was so far away from God. Have you ever seen anybody and they're so far backslid, but yet they're religious? Oh, the Lord being the Lord, he's with me every day. I can just feel him every day. You better not go with what you feel. Do you talk to him every day? Do you read your Bible every day? If you're not, you and the Lord are not in communion. I tell you that right now. Amen. It is time that we, as Christian believers, put away fake Christianity. Now, I don't mean that in a bad way, but it's time we put that away. Amen. And so Saul here had this fake sense of worship. Fight the Lord's battles for me. Oh, he's trying to smooth everything. Now, you better watch a man that won't have anything to do with you, and all of a sudden he approaches you and talks good to you. You better watch that kind of a fella, because something's getting ready to happen. Amen. Something's getting ready to happen. It probably ain't good, you see. Saul was fake as a $3 bill, only be thou valiant for me and fight the Lord's battles. He didn't care about that. He was wanting to get David killed. He had an ulterior motive. And here's the thing about it. If you use somebody for something and you've got a hidden motive all the time, I just want to tell you that's rotten. And I want to tell you that's fleshly, and I want to tell you that God is nowhere in that. And I tell you, I've seen people do that. And that is rotten. Did you know a friend will not do that? A friend does not use somebody to get what they want. And by the way, this stuff ought to be preached. It's not preached much in our churches anymore. It's just not preached much at all. And therefore, people just live carnally and in the flesh, and people will use you for everything they can get out of you. Amen? And listen, I try to use no man. I try not to do that. If a man donates financially to this radio work, I thank God for it. But I will not use that man or that woman for gain. I will not do that. I don't, quote unquote, make friends with the money people. I don't do that. Now, let me say this. There's nothing wrong with a man making money. There's nothing wrong with that at all. There ain't nothing wrong with that. By the way, God's given some men a gift to make honest money, and there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing at all wrong with that. And we need people like that. But I want to say this to you. When you as a preacher and I as a preacher, we get our eyes on that money instead of the gospel and the message that we're preaching, then we've got a problem. So we got to be careful about that. Now, let's go on and look at verse number 18, 1 Samuel 18:18. The Bible said, "And David said unto Saul." Now, David answered him back. Now, by the way, David could have been bitter. David could have took this opportunity to say, "By the way, Saul, what about my demotion you gave me?" Or, "By the way, Saul, well, you've not been treating me rightly." But David didn't do any of that. He behaved himself wisely. He answered the question that was before him, the Bible said. And this is what he said. I'm going to read it again. I'm going to back up here to verse number 18. I want to read it one more time to you. And let's just read the entire verse, verse 18 of 1 Samuel 18. "And David said unto Saul, Who am I? The Bible said, And what is my life or my father's family in Israel that I should be son-in-law to the king?" First of all, David respected the office of the king. Saul did not. David did. David respected the throne. David also knew his place. Now, many people do not know their place. Have you ever heard the old saying, if you could buy old Sam for what he's worth and sell him for what he thinks he's worth, you'd make a lot of money? You ever heard that? Well, let me tell you this. Now, if your name's Sam, no offense, amen. You can say that. You can say Rick or Ricky or whoever, you know. But here's the thing about it. We're dust and ashes. Somebody said that the human body is worth about 88 cents. If you break it down, the human body is worth about 88 cents. And somebody said it's going to cost over $10,000 to bury an 88-cent body. How about that? And somebody said, you put a $10 hat on an 88-cent head, amen? But here's the thing. Brother, we're nothing. And David realized it. Now, the way up with God is down. You young preachers ought to take some learning right here. The way up with God is down. If you're all the time promoting yourself and trying to promote your ministry and, hinting on places to pray, let me tell you what that does. That's not humility. And you need to be humble. You need to not let people know what you do. You need to pray in secret. Young man, if you want some meetings, get a hold of God and ask God. And if God wants you to have them, you'll have them. And if God does not want you to have them, you will not have them. When I first announced my call to preach, the first year went good. The second year, I didn't preach in a church the whole year. Amen. I preached on radio. I preached, but I don't think I preached in a church the whole year. Maybe at my home church, and that was it. And let me tell you something. But God knows, amen, and God knows. Now, Proverbs 15:33 says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. You know what? David knew that Samuel had already anointed him to be king back in chapter 16. A little ways back. And David knew that God was going to bring him to the throne. But David behaved himself wisely here. He didn't use this opportunity to ask Saul any kind of questions about his demotion. He just answered Saul's question. And he stayed humble. He could have looked at Saul and said, I'm going to be king one day anyway. But he didn't do that. He kept himself humble. That's a hard thing to do. By the way, you got to work at that. That don't come naturally. I want you to understand that. It's just like you don't teach a kid to do wrong. You got to teach him to do right. You got to teach this old flesh. You got to stay humble before God yourself. One thing I never pray. I've heard people say it's okay to pray this, but I never pray the Lord make me humble. I never do that. You see, the Bible said humble yourselves. It's not up to God to make you. It's just like a man going to God and saying, God, will you let me quit smoking cigarettes? Well, that's not up to God. Amen. God can give you grace, but you're going to have to put forth the willpower. It's just like eating right, a healthy diet. Oh Lord, will you make it where I can eat a healthy diet? Well, God provides you the money and the means. A lot of things are up to us. A lot of things in your life are up to you. A lot of the inward things like bitterness and pride, all that's kind of up to you. You see, and you got to keep that out of your life. You got to pray. That's why Psalm 139 is in the Bible that we studied a little ways back, when it's talking about search me, O God. You see, we ought to want God to search us so that there's no pride in our life. But I sure don't want God to make me humble. I'd rather do it myself. Amen. God could put you flat on your back. God could put you in a hospital on a ventilator. God could make you humble. But listen, one thing that is killing our younger preachers today, and I'm not against our young men. I want you to understand, young men, I love you. You'll never have a greater friend than me, I'll promise you. But I'll tell you one thing that is against our young preacher today is arrogancy and pride. These boys go to school, and they think they come out of there, and they know everything that there is to know. And there's a push in America for the changing of the guard. They want to shove the old guys out of the pulpit. Well, you're too old. You need to get out. You need to build it on youth. Do you realize that you're going to get old one day? You people that are pushing the youth movement and your youth, do you know you're going to be old one day? Do you want somebody pushing you in a corner when you get old? You see, I've been thinking about coming up with a series of messages on what the Bible says about old people. You see, we have it all wrong in our churches. We'd rather have a 25-year-old as pastor than we would a 65-year-old. Oh, well, a 65-year-old, he's through. He's ready to retire. Well, where did God say that in the Bible? You see, pastoring a church is not a career. It's calling. And my brother, in ministry, we've got to get back to a calling, not a career. We have too much philosophy in ministry. We think too much. Oh, well, a preacher's got to retire by the time he's 65 and he's done with his ministry. Wait a minute. Well, would you have had enough guts to went and told Dr. Harold Sattler that? Let me say this to you, friend. We need to be led of the Holy Ghost in what we do. Some men may need to quit pastoring at 60. Some may need to go on to their 80. I heard about a man the other day who's 99 years old. You know what he did? He booked a revival. He's going to be 100 year old next year. And he's already booked a man for revival. He'll come when he's 100 years old. And they say the man's just got his good mind, just going wide open at 99 year old pastoring. You say, preach, that's unreal. It is. But let me tell you something. Let God use you to the day you die. You see, you're put here for a purpose. And so we're to stay humble on earth. We're to stay humble. And David did that. David stayed humble. Now, look at verse number 19. The Bible said in verse number 19, but it came to pass at the time when Merab, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David that she was given unto Adriel the Meholathite to wife. Now, wait just a minute here. Okay, this is the second time that Saul has cheated David concerning this lady. Now, I don't know all about Merab. I sort of think she was a good woman. If you study Scripture, I think Merab died an early death because Michal, her sister, raised her sons for her. And but back in those days, of course, the women didn't have power to choose their husband. I mean, they were the men decided that. And it all boiled down probably to a dowry that David could not pay. And so there was a lot of politics in Saul's life. He was a political man, and I mean, he did a lot of maneuvering. And so when it came time, he called David to appease him, but then he seen a better deal. Now, that's the way it is with somebody that uses you. If they're out to use you, they'll use you, but if they find somebody to work for them better or fit better their plan, they'll drop you and go to that person. You ever had that done to you? Now, brother, this is just plain preaching today, and it is preaching that'll help you. And I want to say again, if you're using people and you just maneuver and manipulate, there are some people that they manipulate all their life. They just try to get what they can out of it. I would hate to have to live that way. God knows I don't live that way. God knows I don't try to maneuver people to get what I want out of them. I go to heaven, and I've told my wife, I said, the day that God does not meet our needs in the ministry is the day we'll quit. The Bible said, faithful is he that calleth you who also will do it. God's not called a bunch of men and a bunch of politics to keep me going. God's called, when I'm talking about politics, I'm not talking about in Washington, D.C., I'm talking about among the brethren. You'd be surprised how many political games are played in the church. And I tell you, we're missing the will of God right and left by playing these games. Now, here's Saul. And so now he gives this girl away. This is the second time he has lied David concerning this girl. All right, do you remember back that Saul had already lied him one time? 1 Samuel 17, you remember that? Goliath is raging and roaring, been out there for 40 days. David walks up, and David and the men tell him, let's just read 1 Samuel 17:25. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be, now watch this right here, that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. Well, Saul lied David up one side and down the other. Saul never gave David riches, and I don't know exactly about what I'll admit to you, I'm not altogether clear on what the make his father's house free in Israel. Maybe that means of service or whatever. Maybe it would be, I don't know, maybe it'd be tax-free. I don't know. But anyway, you'll find that Jesse was a very poor man, and Saul surely didn't give David riches, and Saul surely didn't give him Merab or Michal at that time. So Saul lied. He lied, really. He lied, in a sense. And the only reason he gave him Michal is because he served the purpose, and we'll get to that in a few minutes. But so he's already lied him. Now, Saul lived in the flesh. Now, again, I'm going to say something. Some of you may not agree with me. Some of you preachers may not, and it's okay. I don't debate the Bible. I just preach it. I believe from the study of the Scriptures that Saul is a saved man. I believe that. I believe Saul will be in heaven. I believe that. And I believe we'll get to shake his hand in heaven. He'll have a glorified body. Thank God that he will. He won't have that attitude he had. I think he'll have the attitude he first had when he went in as being king. But here's Saul. Now, he's trying to manipulate David to get what he wants. But now at the time, he gets a better deal, so he gives this girl to somebody else. You see, David's not able to pay the dowry, all right? And so David said, what am I? You know, what is my life? What is my family? David knew he couldn't walk in that league. He knew he couldn't. He knew it better be God if he got him there. Amen. Colossians chapter number 3, verse number 9. By the way, this verse is still good. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Now here's the deal. That's a good verse. Lie not one to another. You're saved. You're born again. Let me just put it to you plain English. It is a sin to tell a lie. It is a sin to tell what you'd call a little white lie. You say, well, preacher, if I tell a little white lie to keep trouble down, wrong. It is a sin to lie anytime, anywhere, any place. You ought to tell, and you'd be surprised how much dishonesty goes on in our churches. You'd be surprised how much our preachers sometimes are dishonest. They want to cut corners here or there. They want to lie. Well, you know, I mean, it's anything that will suit the purpose today. And when, by the way, our people are watching. If you're a man of God, and I'm a man of God, we're supposed to be examples to society. I'm to be an example to you. I'm never to get on this radio and preach anything to you that I do. In other words, if I lie, I shouldn't preach against lying. All right? So what I'm saying to you, it is wrong to lie. It's wrong, lady, it's wrong to lie your husband. Husband, it's wrong to lie your wife. Parents, it is wrong to lie your children. And you teenagers, listen to me. It is wrong to lie your mom and daddy. Preachers, it's wrong for you to lie. Young preachers, it's wrong for you to lie. Amen. Deacons, it is wrong for you to lie. It is a sin. Lying is a sin. You say, well, I'll lie on my job. I'll cut corners. I wouldn't have a job. Hey, you hear me. God's fed me all my life. God's took care of me all my life. I'm 57 years old. I would not have a job that I had to lie on. I wouldn't spend another day. You say, preacher, I'm in sales and I have to lie. I'd resign today. Amen. I'd pray about that thing, but I'd never tell another lie. You might have to work there till you get a job, but I'd not tell no more lies about it. No, sir. Let me tell you something, brother. Lying is a thing today that is looked at. And boy, let me ask you a question. When's the last time you heard anybody preach on lying? You know, you say, well, preacher, how's lying so bad? Well, it almost got Abraham, it could have got him killed. Abraham lied to those Egyptians about Sarah, and Abraham lied to Abimelech about Sarah. They could have took his wife away from him. It just about got Abraham in a bunch of trouble. And guess what Abraham did? He lied. He lied twice. And guess what happened? He passed that characteristic down to his son. And when Isaac did the same thing about Rebekah. Now, I tell you, if you want your kids to grow up telling the truth, you ought to tell the truth. Listen, it ain't altogether what comes out of your mouth, but it's what your kids see in the home. It's what you see, what they see you do. Why, if your daughter, Mama, if she sees you always cutting corners, she's going to cut corners. If Daddy, if your boy sees you cutting corners, he's going to cut corners. I was telling this dear lady's husband the other day, there's a lady that the county hired to help me in school when I was in about 6th, 7th, 8th grade. And I was telling her husband about it the other day. She's passed away. She's in heaven now, great godly lady. And her husband's a good friend of mine. And I was telling him about being in school. And one day I wrote something down. And this lady said to me, she was hired by the county to help me as a teacher's aide. And she said to me, she said, Ricky, and this always stuck with me. This has been over 45 years ago. And she said, Ricky, your problem is you always want to take shortcuts in life. Well, you know, sometimes people lie. Brother, and by the way, lying in the church is wrong. Did you know that? Lying anywhere is wrong. Lying, exaggerating is wrong. I got to be careful about that. Sometimes us preachers, we like to, you know, we like to get carried away. We got to be careful about that. I try. To be honest, I try to do that. I try never to lie to you on the radio. There's one thing about it. I don't think you never say Brother Cawthorn's lied to me on the radio. I try to be clean in that area. I'll just tell you something, and I'm not being ugly. I got saved when I was 11. And I didn't lie to my mom and daddy. I'm just going to be honest with you. I did not tell my mom and daddy lies. I didn't do that much before I got saved. I remember, this is before I got saved, 1977. My mama bought us some BB guns for Christmas. And she said, all right, boys. She said, now here's the deal. She said, if you shoot each other with these guns, they go up for 6 months. She said, the second offense, I will break that gun over a tree. And there we were, 1977 Christmas. And we got those BB guns. I bet we hadn't had them 2 days. And I was out in the backyard going to shoot, and my brother walked out in front of me, so help me, it's the truth, and he will tell you it's the truth. And I shot and didn't mean to and shot him in the back. Well, he began to cry. Well, Mama came out, I told her exactly what happened. I said, he walked out in front of me, I shot him. Doug, my brother, told her the same thing. And she said, it does not matter. I told you, and she got those guns, and for 6 months, it didn't matter how we begged, how we pleaded, those guns went up. Now, but the deal is, I told the truth about it. By the way, I'm not sorry I told you. By the way, telling lies never gets you anywhere. And I don't know why I'm bogged down on this, but some of you need to get out of the lying business. You need to ask God to help you. Amen. It's never, never. You can't show me one verse of Scripture in this Bible where it's right to lie. Never can. All right. Now let's look at verse number 20 now. Amen. Let's see. Yeah, verse number 20. The Bible said, and Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David. And that's Saul's youngest daughter. And they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. Now, here's the deal. Now, he give me Rab away because, you know, David couldn't come up with the money, I guess. And now somebody's come to him and said, you do know that Michal basically is, you know, is kind of a, you know, I mean, she you know how these boys and girls do. They get to liking each other, you know. And said, now she loves him. And boy, that just fit right into Saul's plans. Because there wasn't nobody, you know, trying to get Michal right then. And that just fit right into Saul's plan. Boy, that pleased him well. Well, you know, a manipulator, it always does please them well when something falls in their path that they can use. It sure does. All right, now, amen, it pleased him well. But now let's notice verse number 21. And Saul said, I will give him her, that she may be a snare to him. Well, David did not allow that to happen, and she did try to be later. And we already covered that way back in the early part of this study. And that the hand of the Philistines may be against him, wherefore Saul said to David, thou shalt this day be my son-in-law in the one of the twain. Now, Saul come up with this idea. He moved on emotion. He never prayed about it. They told him, boy, Michal loves David. And so David goes back in his presence. Now, you better watch a manipulator. Again, if somebody calls you on the phone and all they ever want is to use you to get something, I'd get away from that person. I'll be honest with you. I don't have any fellowship with somebody. All the time they ever call me is when they want something. I don't like that. Amen. You know, well, you do me a favor, I'll do you a favor. Why don't we live for God and let God do the favors? Amen. We got too much favor business in this day and hour. Why don't we let the Lord do things? Amen. Let the Lord work things out. Amen. But anyway, here we go. He calls David back in his presence again. Now here's the next daughter. And David, no doubt, David's a human. David's probably thinking, is he going to lie me this time like he did the last time? But Saul had a different plan. It was a little bit more clever than that this time. It was a little bit more clever. And Saul had a different plan this time. So we're going to see what Saul did here. And it's kind of clever. But I'm going to say this, now in this verse, we see the rushing. I want to point out something to you. Now, and this is a good precept. Look at verse 21, the latter part of it again. Wherefore Saul said to David, thou shalt this day be my son-in-law in the one of the twain. Now, in other words, you're going to marry this girl today. Now, wait a minute. Hold up right there. The world will put pressure on you to do something immediately. And I'll tell you another thing that is not preached much in our pulpits. It's called waiting upon the Lord. You need to read Isaiah 40:31, but they that wait upon the Lord. You need to read Psalm 46:10, be still. That means to cease from your own doing and know that I am God. Now, you know, a lot of people ain't waiting on God for anything. And any time that you're rushed into a decision, I would not let them do it. Now, I'll give you an illustration. If a church calls you for pastor, and they're wanting to rush you in there and just push you through, I would hesitate on that. You know, I think things need a little prayer, and I'm not saying drag on 6 months, but I mean, I'm just saying, if a job comes open, and a man says to you, I'll give you this job, the catch to it is you got to take it tomorrow morning. You got to be on the job. Just quit where you are today and walk off your job and be tomorrow. I wouldn't do that. Well, friend, we come to the end of our radio broadcast for this Saturday, January the 17th, and Sunday, January the 18th. It's been a great joy to be with you here on the radio. And I praise the Lord for being on the radio. Many of these stations we've been on for years and years and years. And a lot of them we've been on over 20 years. I praise God for Dr. Beatty's station there, WPIP, been on there over 20 years. And other stations we've been on a long time. And I got to tell you, God has used you, the listening audience, to encourage me down through the years. And I hope that I've been a blessing to you. Amen. Well, Lord willing, we'll continue next week in our series on this study of the life of David. I hope you'll continue listening. And until next week, may the Lord bless you. It's my prayer. Jesus. Well, friends, I want to thank you for listening to today's Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast. Address your cards and letters to the Gospel Pulpit, Post Office Box 797, Dobson, North Carolina, 27017. I'm Brother Ricky Cawthorn, and I hope you'll tune in again on the same station at the same time for another Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast when we come and dine around the Word of God together.
All the time, He who fed the multitudes turned the water into wine to the heart.